Hi there and welcome to Happy Thistle with me, Woody Morris. Happiness is all around us, but sometimes it can be hard to find. I'm here to remind you of your happy, sharing top tips along the way and helping you remember when you smile, the world smiles back. Let's go. Here's the show. Yeah. This is a very special episode of Happy Thistle for me today because I've got my old mucker, my lovely, gorgeous buddy, Vicky Mendelssohn, who was the other half of Spill the Beans. Some of you may remember, some of you may not. We actually had our third year anniversary. It was 3 years ago that was started. So hello, my darling, how are you?
Hello, I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. It's good to be back together again.
It is. It's like just like old times.
Oh, old beans, exactly. Old beans. It's funny, isn't it? Because we when we were all out together, well, it'd be a year ago, and we were all out celebrating your hen night, and a load of the girls were like, are you guys not going to get back together again? And you know, because obviously we created Spill the Beans in lockdown to kind of spread some happiness out there, and I don't know, are we should we do one more series just for a laugh? I don't know,
it's like take that. You should always get the band back together for like a celebratory final tour. That's when the money will come in, Woody.
You reckon? Let's see. But it was one of those things, wasn't it? We had such good times, and it wasn't like we sort of deliberately stopped. We stopped for the summer, didn't we? And then you were like, I'm not sure if we'll do another one. And then I was like, oh, yeah. And then I was like, not sure if we'll do another one. And we both then decided... Actually,
yeah. And you life... moved house, and you had like 20 houses to sell, and it was just, I think sometimes there's a time and a place, and I think we both agreed that at the time. But look, there's never any reason, you know, it was a winning formula, as they say. I just think that there's no reason to ever kind of bring something back. And it's about enjoying it because we enjoyed it. And I think the best times were when we were together.
Yeah,
the song and that, and I mean the Zoom thing just kind of came about because of kind of COVID and traveling and all the rest of it. So you know, yeah, that that in real life thing is really important now.
Oh, and this is the funniest things. And actually, one of the clips came. I don't know why I had it. But I had it saved on my phone. The time, because you would do the cooking, so I would do all the sort of healthy habit stuff. You would do the cooking, and do you remember that time when I was trying to show what you'd created and it fell off the bloody plate? I was like, oh no. Anyway, entertainment value.
Were we not both dressed as pixies as well?
I think it was our Christmas one, and we had our like little elf hats on and all the rest of it. Oh, the joys. Anyway, apart from all those fab times that we had and all the memories, but I really wanted you to come on to Happy Thistle because, and you were kind of scrunching your face when I said this before, because I always see you as somebody who always looks at the bright side of stuff, always looks for the positive. And, you know, it's not like your life has been easy-ozy all the way through, has it? And you know, we first started living in a flat together when we were 17. I mean, oh my God, that is just crazy, isn't it, to think? And the reason for that is because things for both of us weren't great at home. And obviously you were going out with my brother at the time, and I was like the tag-along little sister, although there was not a huge age difference between you and I. But at that point for you, things weren't easy for you at home, really, were they?
No, and... my mum had cancer since I'd been about 11, and I'd become a carer for her. And in the absence of any other kind of coping strategies that were, I mean, now you've got like Maggie's Centre and you've got all these amazing places that people can go to get help with their mental health when they're going through really serious illnesses. No, that didn't exist in the 80s, and most people just turned to the booze. And that's what happened to my mum, is that for many years she became an alcoholic, and it was really difficult to navigate that as a 12-year-old, 13-year-old child. And from that, you know, came a lot of conflict and sadness, and probably why I ducked out of school early, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And as a consequence to having to be the carer for many years, I think that that friendship group that I found in school and people outside of school at the time was crucial to my own mental health, and other people became my family, including you. And when I met Ian, and we got together, and then he was in a similar situation, albeit that you'd gone through a different sort of tragedy as a family.
Ian's my brother, for those listening, if you're wondering who Ian is.
And it was just like a kind of a meeting of people that had all been through pretty traumatic childhoods, actually. And we were all lucky to really find each other and look after each other. You know, but you know, I wasn't expecting to be, you know, a big, well, it was great because it kind of was more like a big sister rather than a big scary stepmother at that age. But it was still, you know, it just wouldn't happen now, you know. There's other sort of mechanisms in place, fortunately. But I think we've all come through it pretty unscathed. But I think in terms of positivity, you know, if you don't look on the bright side from a young age, I think that sometimes you can go down some pretty dark holes.
Absolutely. And I think, how did you, I mean, looking back now, and obviously society is so different, and we all talk about this, the woke society. And sometimes I think, my God, if you knew what I went through when I was younger, or and like yourself, you know, there's so many things that we've dealt with, but I see it as it's not transformed my life, but I do look at the positive because of, I guess, what I've lost. And for you, possibly the same. I mean, as I said, I see you as very sort of solution focused. But when you were that age, because I had my brothers, so I had two older brothers, you didn't, you were an only child. So how did you cope with that? Is that when your friends really stepped up? And like you said, they became your family.
It was kind of, you know, when you're a teenage girl, you're very close to people. There's usually three or four people at school, and so I kind of ended up staying with them, you know, more than sometimes I'd be at home. I lived with my uncle and aunt for a year, when my mum was really sick, for a period of time. So it was quite a kind of a mishmash of creating really powerful, strong friendships, which are still the friendships that I've got today in many cases. I'm not relying on other people's charity, but I think the, you know, the adults in at that time could see that I was going through a rough time, and that, you know, what's, you know, an extra, you know, having some, you know, an extra friend of your daughter's or whatever in the house. And, you know, they were all very kind and understanding, I think, for the boys.
That is, I mean, I remember that as well. Although I was maybe, I don't know, was I naughtier than you? Maybe I just got caught more than you did. But a lot of my friends' parents actually were, well, I just they misunderstood the situation I was going through. But I do remember the ones that were really, really kind to me and made sure that I was eating and had a dinner. You know, when mum had, you know, when I was living in the flat with you, and I was just down the road. That was when I was just down the road from Vossey. And you know, just being a typical sort of 17-year-old, I didn't want to cook. I was like quite happy eating a box of Tunnock's tea cakes. And you look back, don't you, now, and you think, oh my goodness, like you say, that just wouldn't happen now because there'd be people.
Services would have been called.
Well, I know. I know, but we are, I mean, like you've put, and that, do you know what was very apparent actually, Vicky, at your hen weekend when all the girls were there? Like, you have got a lot of very good friends. I mean, we're all blessed. Oops, we're all blessed to, you know, I mean, I remember my dad always saying, if you can count your best friends on your one hand, you've had an amazing life. Well, actually, you could probably count your best friends on lots of hands. And what an honor. And I think that's probably because you've invested in your friendships over the years. Like, you know, they've replaced family, like you said.
Yeah, and it's a support system, isn't it? And in a different way, because you know they're not family, and you can be your kind of authentic self. And that's been kind of throughout life. It's, you know, my roller coaster experience from an early age has taught me that, you know, that kind of resilience, you know, that actually nobody else is going to do it for you. So if I was going to be successful in anything that I did, and that career, personal life, etc., then I only had myself to really rely on and get there to do it. So whilst friendship, the friends are the people that carry you to a degree, but you're the one that's kind of driving the bus. And I think that positivity that we were talking about earlier is much more around me having to self-generate that, because a lot of people had their families and their mum and dad's going, come on, you can do this, you can go to uni or whatever, whereas mine weren't interested in that, so to speak. So you just had
Was your
support.
dad supportive? Like, 'cause obviously you had your dad, I mean, your dad's passed away now and he died when you were 42, but was your dad supportive of you, your career, what you wanted to do?
No, he was, but I think because of the really broken relationship that I had with my mum, then he really struggled to. And when she died, when I was 26, he kind of came into his own a little bit more. I mean, he would always come down and try and like watch me play rugby, and he would phone, and we had a better relationship because almost. He had a difficult relationship with her as well. So, it wasn't easy for him, but he was a very loyal man, and he did his best to look after her. As she got sicker towards the end, and he was really he was supportive to a degree, but it was all that he had in his wheelhouse to give. And I think that sometimes with parents, the worst thing is the disappointment of expectation. And you'll find that now with your own kids. It's like, oh, well, we expected you to do this and that. It's like, well, actually, that's your expectation of it rather than being the reality.
And do you think you always had, like, would you describe yourself as a positive person? Do you think you always had a sunny outlook? Or do you think you've
Oh,
had to, yeah?
yeah, no, 100%. And in my early, pre-12-year-old me, I was just like a little firecracker. And I mean that hasn't really changed. And
Yeah, wee firecracker.
that was the original that was brought up by those parents. And it was only due to, sickness and circumstance that it ended up, going wrong when I was a teenager. But up until that point, I've got nothing really but happy memories of my early childhood.
They say that, don't they? They say, give me the child till he's seven, I'll give you the man. Do
Yeah, exactly. And I think
you think there's
that's,
truth? You think there's truth in that?
yeah, I do. I think that is a good, I think, yeah, I do think there's truth in that too. I was going to ramble on there for a moment. I felt
You
better off.
ramble. It's all about you today, honey. It's all about you. You can ramble as much as you like.
No, I do think that, I think that there's a lot of, it's like anything, even in sport, they say, if you can get a tennis player before they're seven and get them doing that early handball coordination thing, they can go on and be world class. So yeah, I do believe that is probably the
Do you
case, but
reckon you would have been world class if you'd got that tennis racket? Vicky
oh,
plays tennis
definitely.
for those
Oh,
listening.
I think Wimbledon finalist.
Probably would. When did you start? Just as a matter of fact, when did you start playing tennis? Vicky is
Oh, when
very
I
good at tennis, by the way,
was
guys. Why? What
42,
age? 42. I
42.
love that. I didn't realize it was. I was going to say that old. That sounds awful. I'm 52. I can say 42 is
Yeah.
old, but it's not. But I love that because you're now. Are you not like Edinburgh champion or
50.
something? Are you? No, you've got, so you won something.
Oh.
What did you win?
No, I've just won like club championship stuff at the age.
Yeah, but that's amazing coming to a sport at 42. You see, never give up. You're never too old.
No, you're
Love
never
that.
old, and especially actually tennis and golf, all these sort of
Golf. Have
slightly
you started golf yet? Is that not for really
not,
old people? Just
I'm
joking, by
not.
the way, who my golf
No, I'm telling you,
ladies.
there's so many people I know that are going, oh, Vicky, you need to take up golf, and I'm thinking, nah, not yet.
I know, I keep joking as well. I'm like, not quite ready for that yet. But then I've got obviously a load of our buddies play, love it.
Yeah,
You just, I don't know, maybe I'm just in my head, just
the lock
it's, I know. Oh, I was gonna say that. Then I thought a lot of my friends love golf. And then I also just thought, I don't know, I just feel like I'm too immature for that. It's like a old sophisticated ladies game, and I'm not very sophisticated.
I think that what's where golf has changed, though, which is great, is that now they have like shorter course games. So like 18 holes, you have to do 18 holes, and where you could do nine and still have a really great experience on the course, and it's much more accessible than it used to be and cheaper. So golf is really trying to readjust its sails to get people like you and me to play. And yeah, there's a lot of my friends are playing and they're loving it. So horses for courses.
Well, let's see. Maybe we'll come back and revisit this in a few years' time, and you and I'll be we'll be pro giving it large on the golf course, or maybe
Playing
not.
golf and baking scones.
We'll see, we'll see. And let's talk about your career a little bit. Obviously, you've always been sport mad. You played rugby, loved rugby, and obviously you then set up your company Big Blue PR. And that was created by you from pretty much nothing.
From scratch. I was the first woman to have a sports sort of PR agency in 1999 was when it started. So we're actually celebrating 25 years next year.
Amazing. Oh, I'm so proud of
Yeah.
you.
Yeah, no, it has. It's been a real old
And not
journey.
easy because I, being a woman in sport, I mean, oh my God, like, years ago, it's maybe easier for women now, but then when you were creating or setting up Big Blue, that can't have been easy. And you had, I know you went through a lot of big things that as well with the
Yeah.
company, didn't you?
Yeah, we had in the beginning, as it were, we fortunately just caught on the wave of big brands coming and starting to look at their sponsorship activity and how they could invest and activate better. So, we ended up picking up quite a lot of really big brands like Carlsberg and Famous Grouse. Tetley's beer, who were all getting involved in rugby at that time and golf. So we just, yeah, it just kind of, we were just around at the right time and I knew the right people. So that helped. And that lasted for, the rugby kind of relationship has been on and off, during those 24 years. And recently we worked with Peter Vardy, who were the current Scotland team sponsor. I've worked with Sir David Murray, who also sponsor. So it's like I've had this kind of Scotland team sponsor thing, which has been amazing. And I've thoroughly enjoyed working with every one of them. But it's been difficult. There's been this year, for example, it's been a tougher year. And it's not just sport that we do, it's corporate work and events, and community events, etc. And the cost of living affects businesses right through. Everything's gone up. It's not as easy. Or it never has been easy, but it just feels a bit harder at this time. So everything feels a bit more sticky, as I put it.
Sticky.
Yeah.
And obviously you've met lots of people through your business and what you do. I know one of your favorites was Mr. McEnroe.
Oh, a legend he is, John McEnroe. So I brought him over to Scotland in. It's about 10 years ago now to play tennis in an event that I'd set up, and the guy who, so I thought, who would be the best person to look after him? So one of our volunteers was an ex-policeman, so he was tennis mad, and he said, oh my goodness, I'd love to be his driver for the week and all the rest of it. And I thought, safe pair of hands. So he phones me from the airport and he said, so I walked into the iArrivals lounge. And he's having a fight with somebody from the BBC. He's only landed in Scotland like 2 minutes ago, and he's already shouting at people, going, "How did you know I was here? And get out my way!" and all the rest of it. And he was going nuts. And I was like, "Oh my God, this is going to be a long week." But actually, when I met him and I sat down with him on many occasions that week, just having kind of little chit chats with him, and I kept kind of looking at myself going, I'm actually speaking to John McEnroe. This is the highlight, I think, of a long career of meeting many sportsmen. He's so impressive in so many ways, his knowledge, and he's fun as well. He's lots of fun. And his so when we were in the run-up to the event, we said to his manager, so what's his rider? Do you know what I mean? So what does he like in his dressing room and all that stuff? And I thought there would be this kind of list of, like food and, sparkling water, whatever it is. And he's like, after Jan plays, he just wants two cans of Carlsberg Special Brew. Really? And that's what he wanted. He
And
loves
that's what
it.
he got.
Yeah. Get
Oh.
down to the co-op. They were the only people that sold Carlsberg special brew in those days.
Special brew. My God, that stuff
Oh
is
my
lethal.
God.
Oh.
He was great fun.
A
Yeah.
real character.
Oh, a real character and so many stories and very charismatic. But very supportive. I always remember him. There was a few things that went wrong with the weather mainly, but at the
And
end of
you,
it,
a lot, well, it was big. I mean, you laugh off it now, but I mean, that was not a
well, at
good
the
time for
time
you.
it felt like the world was caving in, but we had a solution the following year. But I remember him at the end of the first year going, he said, Vicky, he said, you've done a great job. He said, I'm really proud of you. He said,
Oh.
just sort, he said, these are the things. He said, we'll be back. We'll come back. I'll support you, no problem. But and just fix the roof was the main thing, is fix the roof. And but I was laughing actually to that last. I was watching the US Open this year and it's pouring with rain and Djokovic is on the court with towels and all the rest of it. And I thought, happens to the best of them.
Absolutely. At least
So
it's maybe more predictable or predicted here in Scotland. And that was just difficult the weekend. I was trying to get down to London and all the trains, loads, not all of them, but a load of the trains were cancelled from here. And, it's blowing a hoolie and then get down to London. It's 25 degrees. It's that real north-south divide, isn't it?
I know, but it seems to, it's the slanty rain that you get in Scotland that just is
This.
like horizontal rain.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. And what's been, I mean, it's difficult to say you're coming up to the anniversary of 25 years of Big Blue. I know that is one of your highlights, meeting John McEnroe, but what other highlights can you think of over the last 25 years? Because there you are, a woman in sport, carving a path that's quite tough to do, and a lot of not much support as well sometimes. And
Oh.
what would be your highlight of it all? And then also, what advice would you give? Because you are a true entrepreneur in that you set up your business from scratch and you did it all yourself. So firstly, your highlight, because you're coming up to your 25th anniversary, which is amazing. So what your
Yeah.
biggest.
Oh, the John McEnroe thing's right up there. That's got to be like in terms of meeting a global sporting superstar, you don't, I'll probably never get that. Well, you never will, never say never, but
Never say never.
never, that those chances don't come along very often. I would say also when we brought the IRB sevens to Scotland for the first time, so I was part of the bid team who brought the sevens over to Scotland, and we held it at Murrayfield for 2 years, and we got like record crowds, and it was that was, I mean that was a real feat to see that through from the bid process right through to sort of operational.
What an achievement.
Yeah, that was really special. Being part of Famous Grouse's, I think I can't remember how many years it was now. I think it was like 18 years of the Scotland Rugby sponsorship and creating a memorial at Murrayfield, which is not a memorial, that's probably not the right word, but there's a set of gates there that I designed and helped to design. I didn't help to design them and deliver them and all the rest of it. And they're still there. So every time I walk past them, I always feel
You had some part to play.
kind of, yeah, very happy. And that's in a sporting sense, but there's been many PR stories then that have been really special, over the years. Recently, I had a story that was on the, I think the one of the highlights actually this year was I had a story on the BBC main network news for a client, which was amazing, which was great. I was sitting there going, oh my God, I did that. That
Which
was what
story was that? Which one was that? Can you see?
No, there was two so Taizo, who were my client, sponsored an expedition out to the Amazon, and these two guys were doing a world first expedition to navigate the Amazon River from its highest source, and they got attacked by pirates
Oh, yes, right, yeah.
1500 km into the river, and one of them was shot twice, and he survived, and wrestled the other pirate off the boat, and he got shot again. I mean, it was just like, oh my God,
Drama.
real drama. And so when they came back, we were like, well, listen, this is a really good, it's a great story. So we kind of got it out there, and they were on Good Morning Britain with Susanna Reid, and they did 6 o'clock news. Yeah, it's been that was a big story.
Wow.
Human interest story, and human, in, you know, that they're the best ones.
No, absolutely. And so back to the other question I was going to ask you is for people looking at what you've done and what you've achieved, you know, I'm a real believer and I'll always say to people, you know, follow your dreams. You've got to follow your heart, follow your dreams. Anything's achievable. You know, if you put your mind to it, hard work, you've got to work hard and you've grafted. Like you are a real grafter. And I don't know if this the younger generations coming through now just expect things or they, you know, they don't realize how much hard work it goes into achieving your dreams. What advice would you give somebody, you know, if somebody wanted to go, you know, set up a PR company or just go alone, like be an entrepreneur and just do their thing? What lessons have you learned in this last 25 years of your journey?
I mean, initially it's all about building network, but it's also about building credibility and doing what you learning your craft and doing it well. And that will then speak volumes for what you can actually achieve. And so when if you build a good base and you've got good, you're not just chasing the money, you know, it's having a little bit of a balance of, you know, maybe helping a charity, but also, you know, having that kind of corporate fulfillment that's you know sort of going through your books as clients and getting good testimonials. Surround yourself. You should always, somebody said to me, you should always look around the room and you should never be the cleverest person in it.
Absolutely.
And so surrounding yourself, having good governance and having a good financial advisor so that, you know, because a lot of I see a lot of companies come and go. I mean, we've all seen them. Companies come and go, and you know, cash is king. And you see them; they're expanding, 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 and they're having offices here, there, and everywhere. And then you see them slowly kind of shutting down because they've not gone through all the processes, and they just want to get to a place where they look like they're massive, and actually they've got no money in the bank, and they're up to their you know neck in debt. So going slowly, surround yourself with good people, and get a good financial advice. Are kind of the three believe, you know, work hard is important, obviously, but learn your trade, you know, that's the main thing. And you can only do that by going out and doing the work itself. And you know, what we do now has changed so much. We didn't have the social media and even the internet when I started up. So it was all about relationships and building relationships. And if you're not good at that, and you don't care to go the extra mile, then you shouldn't be in any business that you're, you know, it is all about hard work ultimately. But that networking thing at the beginning was probably crucial.
Yeah, I mean, people don't care what you do, but they always they care about how you make. What's that saying about how they make you feel? No, they won't, don't remember what you do, but they remember how you made you feel, and that is so important, isn't it? When you're building relationships and being a nice person and being a you know being a good person and being kind to people. What does the future hold for Big Blue? What's have you got a have you got a plan? Have you got a game plan? Or you're not telling us.
Well, we're still doing what we do. But increasingly it feels like we're the clients that we worked with this year, it's kind of been more about going back to our roots. So it's events and building community for events. So for instance, we opened a community cycle track with the first not the first minister, the sports minister a few months ago. We did an event for another client which was all about their community and building their brand within the community, which was great. But don't get me wrong, if the when the bigger things come along, you know, you want to be considered and have your hat in the ring. But I mean, for me, it's about who I work with as well. You know, I'm at the point now where fortunately I hope that I can be a little bit more sensitive to who I want to work with because I know that I can deliver. And they and you both come in from the same angle rather than and it's a balanced sort of client agency relationship. And that's
Yeah.
really important.
And
And
enjoy the relationship, you know, enjoy and have fun.
yeah, it's I mean it is fun, but you know, ultimately you want to give them a report at the end which shows how good it's been and what you've delivered from the beginning, saying this is what we'll do, and then at the end going, we did it, which means that you get the repeat business.
Absolutely. So, on to Vicky and your little personal life. So, what I love as well is that for a lot of people, I'm 52, you're 53. How old are you now? 53?
53.
53. So, you're wee bit 6 months older than me, I think it is. And obviously, a lot of our friends either splitting up from husbands, wives, partners, whatever. And, there you are, found the happy ever after at the end because you had been married before and hadn't worked out. And then you went through a lot of, I guess a lot of us went through heartbreak at some point, but you went through a fair amount of heartbreak, which really was not great. And look at you now. So you met lovely Craig and then you got happy, you got married in November. Was it November last year? Yeah.
It was. We're just coming up to our first anniversary.
So what's the first year of marriage been like?
You maybe be better to ask him that question. I think it's been wonderful. We've had a great time. We had a lovely honeymoon in South Africa. We've just been in France for Rugby World Cup. And I think at this age, you're a little bit, everybody's a little bit more tolerant and laid back, and I don't know what the word is, but there's probably a little bit more. You just Everything's just a bit more easygoing when you have relationships when you're our age, because there's no bullshit anymore. It is what it is. This is who we are. And luckily, we obviously lived together for quite a while before we got married. But that was a long time coming, and I had to keep positive and was on every dating site known to man, and trying to find, someone compatible who, and it's not easy, and it's a really, really tough journey sometimes being single. And I think if I hadn't been positive and kept my belief that there was somebody out there for me, then I think it would be really easy to cave, because you have to kiss a few frogs along the way, and it's difficult when it doesn't work out. And keeping that positivity and always knowing the only person that can make you happy is you. And if you're not happy, then it will come across in every date that you go on. It seeps into every conversation that you have, because it turns, you might be texting someone and then it just turns a bit like, oh yeah, my ex is this and all the rest of it. And I never did that. I just thought, clean sheet, move on. And it took a while. It took longer than I was hoping it would have done. But, good things for those who wait.
Absolutely. Oh, and it's so funny. I remember just laughing when I saw the two of you because having known Craig and then all this big smiley faces, like when I met you two, when I saw you guys together, it was so cute. And I think that's the thing, isn't it, for people out there who think, oh God, it's never going to happen. You've got to hold on to, if you keep telling yourself that, if you keep affirming, I'm never going to meet Mr. Right, or I'm never going to meet, the one or whatever, then that's what's going to happen. So you've got to be positive, and is that, like you said, you did stay positive. How did you do that?
Well, I think that I always thought, it's good to meet someone. I'll give them an hour. I will go and meet someone, anyone, for a coffee. If I've chatted to them on the phone or been texting and I thought he sounds like a decent person, I'll go and meet them for an hour for a coffee and see what happens. And then you have to sometimes just. A lot of people have maybe got like preconceived ideas of who they should be with. And I think that actually you should go and meet everybody. And because the ones that are the little diamonds are sometimes the ones that you weren't expecting to like make you laugh or whatever. Everybody goes on about it, but you've got to have that chemistry. When you get older, I find that, the chemistry was in the shared experiences and the wanting to, do the bucket list or whatever it might be. And that companionship is sometimes just as important as the how are we going to get on in the bedroom. When you're 50 and going through the menopause, sometimes that's not that important, and actually what you're looking for really needs to change to suit the life at that point. So I think it's moderating what you feel, what success might look like on that date, and just go and enjoy that date and that person. And then if it works out, it works out. Might not it's that kind of then and now. Have a few dates that might just fill out. I know I've got girlfriends of mine that go, not doing anything on Saturday night. They go on a dating app. They go out for, they have a nice time. Maybe isn't going to work out long term, but it's helped them have some form of contact with another human being at the
Yeah,
weekend.
companionship as well is huge. I was
Completely
laughing twofold.
different.
We used to always joke on Spill the Beans about you talking about the menopause, and I was like, oh my God. And it's so funny. Here we are 3 years later, and everyone talks about it all the time now. It's like, oh my God, mental. And I talk about it a lot with my health and wellness stuff, which is quite funny. What was it? Oh, I was just gonna ask you something else there when you were talking about, yeah, I was looking at this graph actually, and it was frightening about the amount of time you spend, say, when you're like from naught to, let's say, 80, or your life, right? So your life, right? Say if you're going to live till you're 80. And it was a graph of the amount of time you spend with all the different people. And your partner at the end, towards your end of your life, is the one that you spend the most time. So it is about compatibility, like you say. It's about all these other things, your hobbies and stuff. Having a laugh. I think you've always got to have a good laugh. But it's the compatibility, because they're the ones you're going to spend the most, because your kids leave and your friends, your parents pass away, all these things. And when you looked at this graph, it was like, wow, the one person, because you don't spend as much time with your friends either. And people, as they get older, get lonely. And if you are on your own, well, it's just very important to have somebody
And
that
some
you're
people
compatible
choose to
with.
be. I mean, there's lots of men and women, they're like quite happy just being on their own, and they make their lives amazing. And there's nothing wrong with being single. If that is your choice, then crack on, brilliant. There's loads of people I know, and quite a lot of girls I know, they're quite happy and they're not pining for something, because that would be worse, is if you're constantly pining for something, then that would make you miserable. So they embrace it, and it's a life choice, which is great.
But like you say, happiness comes from within. So if you're not happy, you're never going to be happy. Somebody else can't make you happy. You have to be happy within yourself. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? Some people they think, oh well, I'm unhappy, that person will make me happy, and it doesn't work like that. And
For other people, you're on a slippery slope to make you
absolutely. Absolutely.
to be
And
happy.
we, you know, so many, you know, because a lot of my friends joke about if they ever left their husband or anything ever happened, they would never marry again. And they would, because they're quite happy just poodling around by themselves, doing their own thing. So we've gone over time, and
Oh my goodness.
with you, I could
Period.
chat and we chat, chat, chat. But before we go, obviously this podcast is all about happiness. What makes you most happy? Like, what's your sort of happiness go-to?
Probably a wee cuddle in the morning with my husband. That
Oh,
makes me happy.
you're so cute.
A wee cuddle in the morning makes me really happy. I love when my dog runs towards me with his big flappy ears. That makes me happy. And I love seeing my stepson happy in his world of
That's my
playing
phone ring.
and all the rest of it. And
Oh.
makes me happy. A big plate of curry, that makes me really happy.
Still loves her food.
Still love my food, and feeding other people, that makes me really happy. Playing
That's,
tennis,
yeah.
that no, I we all try to do things that makes happy, but it might be momentary, but it gives me some inner joy.
Oh, that's so lovely. I knew the dog was going to get in there somewhere. That's number one thing a lot of people say when I ask this quite that question.
Brilliant.
Their dog. It's so funny. You're
Oh.
walking with their dog or spending time with their dog. So, yeah. And I just remember in lockdown, you making all these lasagnas and just always loving the cooking. And so things haven't
Oh, I
changed.
know. I'm a feeder.
You are a feeder. Oh, well, my wee Spill the Beans buddy. It's been so gorgeous seeing you.
Thank you for
And
having me on.
yeah. Oh, it's been great. It's been really lovely. So look forward to catching up with you soon. And thank you so much.
Thank you.
Love you lots. Thanks so much for joining me. If you loved what you heard and think it could help someone else, then please do share on social media. You can find me on Instagram at Woody Morris with two Y's. And if you feel inclined, please jump onto Apple Podcasts and leave a wee review. Thank you so much for listening. It means the world. And always remember, when you smile, the world smiles back. See you next time.